On this episode of Still Loading, it's the Still Loading Grab Bag. Hey everyone, it's Josh, and welcome to this bonus episode of Still Loading. This is going to probably be a shorter one. It might even be a mini-sode or a DLC or something of the sort, but I put out a poll, I put out a questionnaire type of thing, or I guess a not really a poll, but just ask me anything type of thing up on Instagram the other day, just asking for topic ideas and suggestions, and some fans of the show have responded, some other podcast friends of mine, and just some friends of the show. So I figured some of these I do want to do full episodes on, but I figured now would be a good time as any just for a little something a little bit more light. And I also have not done a solo episode in quite a while, so I figured now would be the best time to do a solo episode. And what I'm going to talk about is a handful of different things. I have four different topics for you today from the four different responses that I got. The first one here is from BDoc511 on on Instagram. And he asked, top quarantine games, best disaster games or best infection games? He proposed that as a topic. So in my opinion, I think that you should go with any game that is a long game, something that will eat up a lot of time. The reason I would suggest a long game is because now we actually have the time to play these long games. Before, we would never have the time because our schedules were too busy or just life would get in the way. But now that life is forcing us to stay at home, now is the perfect time to get into a long form game. Personally, I have been going through my Steam library and been playing through my, I have like over 200 games on my Steam library. And it's a problem. A lot of it comes from Humble Bundles. For those who don't know what that is, it is a great charity thing where you essentially a pay what you want type of thing, and they give you and you buy a bunch of games for not for free, sorry, but it you have to spend a minimum amount, but it's very cheap. It's like $5 to $10 tops, and you get at least 5 to 10 games. And so what would happen is that you, and they're all DRM free, so you can download the games directly, or you can get Steam codes, or both. Like you can log back into your account through it and just get a bunch of games. So I have a ton of games, tons and tons and tons of games from those bundles over the last couple of years. So I've been working my way through those, not those specifically, but just the games in my Steam library. One of them I just beat was Bastion. I actually beat that on stream on Twitch. If you guys want to check me out on Twitch, it's twitch.com/stillloadingpod. You can check me out there. I do stream from time to time, usually in the evenings on the East Coast, because that's when I'm done working. Still thankful I work from home. Very fortunate in that aspect. But games that I'm going to be diving into, Red Dead Redemption 2. I actually just got it in the mail today, the day I'm recording this, from Best Buy. I'm very excited to try it out. I'm very excited to play it. It should be a good time. And I know that's a long game. It's an open world game. I liked the first one well enough. I didn't quite get all the hype out of it, but at the same time, I didn't play it in its heyday. I didn't play it when it came out in 2010. I just beat it for the first time. The original Red Dead, excuse me. I just beat that for the first time last year, I want to say. So it was interesting to kind of take an almost 10-year, like play a game that's almost 10 years old at that point and see what kind of their open world game design was like. And let me tell you, open world game design has progressed a lot. Red Dead 1, though, for a Rockstar game, Rockstar games are very hit or miss with me. Like, I couldn't get into Grand Theft Auto 4 or any of the other Grand Theft Autos. To be fair, I have not tried GTA 5. But I will give that a shot at some point just for the sake of trying it. So in general, Rockstar games don't always appeal to me because I'm not a fan of their version of open world. And in fact, the first open world game that I legitimately loved to enough to beat it was the Infamous games. The first Infamous game was the only one I really was able to sink my teeth into. So Rockstar games in general just would never appeal to me. And with all that said, I beat the original Red Dead Redemption, and I really enjoyed it. It wasn't as good as everyone made it out to be, but once again, that's me looking on it with 2019 eyes, not 2010 eyes. You know, my perception of games and my opinion of games will constantly change it. So it was interesting to go back and kind of take it for what it was back in 2009, 2010, whichever year that came out. I actually wrote a couple blog posts on the website, you know, stillloadingpodcast.com, to check my thoughts on it as I played through it. So yeah, I enjoyed that. So I'm looking forward to diving into Red Dead 2. Other games though that I would suggest playing that are perfect for this quarantine time and whatnot. Persona 5. I've never personally played it, but I've heard nothing but good things about it, and it is a long fucking game. Once again, perfect time to dive into a game like that. He also mentioned infection games. I'm not going to mention any of those right now because it is kind of tangentially connected to another topic that was suggested a little bit later on. So I'm going to kind of put a pin on that, excuse me, for right now and just kind of talk about it later. But yeah, seriously, any long games. What are you all playing though? If you're playing anything, like, shoot me a message on Instagram, on Twitter, at me on Twitter or something like that. Let me know what you're playing. I'd be curious to see what everyone is up to during this time. Hopefully you're finding the time to game. Hopefully you're all doing well too. So yeah, long games. That is my suggestion. Long games. Or if you have a big backlog, a bunch of short games, either works, but generally not everyone has a collection, which is probably a healthier thing than spending all the money that collectors like I do. But long games, that's my suggestion. For the second topic request that I got on this little poll up on Instagram is from my friend More Retro Games, or Mike, if you remember him from the N64 episode I did a little while. Oh, not a little while. It's been over a year now, almost 2 years, I think. More Retro Games over on Instagram, he suggested console brand mascots. Now, I did a little bit of research on this. I'm not going to dive too far into the weeds, but I did look up some. Now, it was a very simple search. I just Googled it, and there is actually a Wikipedia page that is dedicated to company/system mascots. And I'm just going to pick out a couple highlights from this, ones that I found super interesting. There's, of course, the classics. You know, you have Mario for Nintendo. You have Sonic for Sega. Master Chief for Xbox, though I wouldn't say, like, when you think of console mascots, like, the first two you think of are Mario and Sonic, hands down. But Master Chief, I would say, is a close third, in my opinion. Interestingly enough, the Master Chief is for Xbox Game Studios. That's their specific mascot. But console mascots, according to this Wikipedia page, it is, and they've cited sources. It's for the original Xbox, it's Blinks the Time Sweeper, which I have never played, but apparently it is a platform. Game developed by R-Toon and published by Microsoft Game Studios, released in 2002 for the original Xbox. And for the Xbox 360, that console's specific mascot was Marcus Fenix from the Game of War. Yeah, Game of Wars. Gears of War. Whoops. Gears of War franchise. Another interesting fun fact is that Nintendo has a specific mascot for the Wii, 3DS, and Switch, and I'm assuming the Wii U as well. They just don't have it included on this. It's the Miis, like the little Miis that you create. They're the mascot for the consoles, not necessarily the company, but the consoles. So those are the big ones. Those are the ones everyone knows. I'm not going to focus on those any further. But here's some other ones that are just either notable or just straight up fucking weird. Some of the notable ones, Konami. They have three listed on here. Solid Snake from the Metal Gear Solid series, Simon Belmont from the Castlevania series, and Sparkster. For those who don't know who Sparkster is, there was a game released for the Super Nintendo called Sparkster, but he originally got his start in Rocket Knight Adventures for the Sega Genesis, which was developed by Konami, and you know, hence being a Konami mascot. And Rocket Knight Adventures is a fucking awesome game. It is a very, very good platformer. It's got a fun soundtrack. The graphics are great. The controls are fun. It's got a cool, like, rocket mechanic that it's easier to show than it is to explain. So I'm not going to butcher it trying to explain it verbally over a podcast here, but check out Rocket Knight Adventures. I may actually stream it at some point. If that's something that would interest you, at me on Twitter if that's something you'd like to see what Rocket Knight Adventures is like, because I actually have the game in my collection and I could stream it pretty easily. So yeah. Now, underneath Konami's umbrella, Konami bought up a lot of other famous NES-era developers, specifically Hudson Soft. Hudson Soft, their specific mascot is Bomberman. So yes, Konami owns Bomberman technically because they bought up Hudson Soft. One of the other ones they bought up is NEC, which are the creators of the TurboGrafx in America. It was the TurboGrafx 16. In Japan, that console was known as the PC Engine. I don't have a TurboGrafx, so I would love to add it to my collection at some point. They're a little pricey, unfortunately, so I can't stream anything from the TurboGrafx. But their mascot is Bonk, and for those who've never played it, Bonk is a platforming, I guess it would be considered a platformer, but Bonk is a caveman, and he is part of a series just called Bonk's Adventure and stuff like that. Actually, let me click onto his link real quick just to make sure I'm not forgetting this. Yeah, Bonk's Adventure, Bonk's Revenge, Bonk 3, Bonk's Big Adventure, Super Bonk, and then there's a whole bunch. Bonk's Return, Super Genjin 2, because I guess, I don't know. But yeah, so Bonk is the mascot of the TurboGrafx 16. And something I didn't know, there was a follow-up, a sequel to the TurboGrafx 16 that NEC also created called the PCFX. Now, the PCFX never came to the U.S. as far as I am aware. Let me just double-check that real quick so I don't butcher it. No, it was only ever released in Japan. It was released in Japan on December 23rd, 1994, and was discontinued in February of 1998. So it really didn't have that much of a life. It only sold 400,000 units. Once again, all this is according to what I'm looking up. But they had a mascot themselves, and it was this anime girl named Rolfi. And I've never even heard of her before. Apparently, she has a game called Tonari no Princess Rolfi. Once again, never played it. It looks like a visual novel from what I can tell. And it also looks like the game was on a disc. It wasn't a console-based system like the original TurboGrafx was a console or a cartridge-based system. But then they also had the TurboGrafx CD, which had a CD add-on. And so this one, I'm assuming it was just a disc-based console, but I don't know much about the PCFX. So for those who do, seriously, once it, like, let me know. I would love to learn more about it. The clicking here in the background is just me kind of exploring around, learning a little bit more here and there. Okay, so that is just some of the mascots for Konami. There is obviously others. Well, maybe not specifically for Konami. That's all that I could find at the moment. There is a couple more for Hudson Soft that I couldn't look up too much. There are Honey and Kotetsu. I don't know much about these, but I'd be curious to learn more about them. Once again, I love video game history. Some other interesting ones. We all know, I was going to talk about Sega mascots. Now, we all know Sonic the Hedgehog, but people who are big into retro games may know these names as well. But for those who don't, there are some older Sega mascots that existed before Sonic the Hedgehog, specifically video game mascots. These are all video game mascots. I'm not talking about if Sega had a mascot prior, because mascot culture is actually really big in Japan. There's mascots for a lot of different things that you wouldn't really expect. If you want to kind of get a hint of that, there's this awesome podcast called Mascots, which you can only find, unfortunately, on Stitcher Premium. If you have Stitcher Premium, check it out. But it's by this dude named Mark McConville, and he just talks about mascots. Only the first episode at the time of this recording is up. Probably the second one will be up soon if it's not already. But at the end of the episode, they talk about these very bizarrely specific mascots that appear in Japan. And they're for very, very, very specific things. Like individual cities and towns have mascots. It's not just like a sports team or something like that. It is the town itself has a mascot to represent the town. It's very interesting to hear about. So anyway, Sega mascots. Prior to Sonic the Hedgehog, probably the prior to Sonic the Hedgehog, there was Alex Kidd, who had his own series of platforming games. I actually have some of them, but I have not played too many of them. But yeah, Alex Kidd was kind of like Sega's answer to Mario, though arguably, like Mario before Sonic, though arguably it's nothing like Mario. And what I have played of it, I wasn't that much of a fan, but to be honest, I also haven't given it that much of a try. So if you, anyone out there is a fan of the Alex Kidd series, let me know which game to try out, because I would love to give it an honest try and just to see what it's like. I think I only have one. Actually, scratch it. I don't have any. I thought I had an Alex Kidd game. I actually have a Wonder Boy game. Very different series. So, yeah, so Alex Kidd. And now, prior to Alex Kidd, they had a different mascot as well. So Sega had two mascots before Sonic. Alex Kidd, like the one I just mentioned, and then Opa Opa. And Opa Opa is a spaceship. It's a little spaceship in the game series called Fantasy Zone, which is a shoot-em-up genre, or what some people would call a cute-em-up, because the artwork is very fun and cutesy and playful, and it's very, very kid-like. So yeah, Opa Opa. I always find that kind of interesting when you see mascots for companies prior to when the, to what you know them as now. And probably one of the weirdest mascots involved with Sega wasn't even a Sega mascot. So there was a game developed exclusively, I want to say, in Japan. It was only released in Japan. And it was published by Sega, developed by a company called Aspect Co. And it was developed for the Sega Game Gear. And it's a game called Coca-Cola Kid. And it's very odd. Coca-Cola has a mascot in Japan. They don't really have a mascot over here. I mean, maybe the polar bears that you see for the Christmas commercials, that at least that I remember. But in Japan, there's a mascot for Coca-Cola. Now, I don't know if this mascot is the same mascot now as it was at the time the game was released, because this game was released in 1994. But the name of the mascot is Koki the Coca-Cola Kid. I don't think that would fly over here with a kid named Koki the Coca-Cola Kid. I can't get over that. It's ridiculous to me. So yeah, another interesting thing, there's some Sony mascots. We already know about Crash Bandicoot and Spyro the Dragon. Apparently the current mascots for PlayStation would be Sackboy, that was from the Little Big Planet series, as well as Nathan Drake from the Uncharted series. But before Crash Bandicoot, before Spyro the Dragon, before Sackboy, before Nathan Drake, you have Kuro and Toro. And they're also known as the Sony Cat. There's these cute little cats, and they're fictional characters created by Sony. An anthropomorphized cat who participates in numerous events and tries to act like a human. Apparently, he did appear in a PlayStation game called Doko Demo Isio. I don't know if I said that correctly. Isio? And since he has appeared in every PlayStation platformer, while not being as popular in the West, he serves as Sony's mascot in Japan, in particular of the PlayStation Network. So this guy is still the mascot, but only of the PlayStation Network in Japan, and in Japan only. Now, I did read part of that off of Wikipedia, hence why it sounds a little bit more script-like, but just want to give you full disclosure on that. So that's just some stuff about the Sony ones. The last couple ones that I have are more just like developer mascots. I don't have a whole lot left to kind of talk about. One of the more modern ones is Red from Rovio Entertainment. Red is the Angry Bird. That's their mascot. Rovio Entertainment created the Angry Bird series, and Red the bird is their mascot. In terms of retro games and retro, not even retro, but older games, Accolade, who is a developer, they are the creator of the Bubsy series, and of course, Bubsy the cat is their mascot. I had to include that on there because who doesn't Well, actually, I've never played a Bubsy game, but who doesn't love Bubsy? Let's be real. He is the game that all gamers love to hate, just about, for those who know him. It's just, it's considered a bad franchise. Now, admittedly, not played any of the games. I know that Bubsy 3D is notoriously one of the worst 3D platformers of all time. But once again, have not personally played them. I'll get my hands on them at some point. Another fun one is Tengen. Tengen, for those who remember, I think I talked a little bit about them on the Tetris episode, but Tengen is an interesting developer because what they are is they are a branch of Atari. And when Atari and Nintendo were competing directly, Atari created Tengen in order to publish games for the Nintendo Entertainment System. And once Nintendo started dicking over third-party publishers, and Atari basically said, fuck that, we're just going to start releasing unlicensed games for your console, you can't stop us. Nintendo did eventually stop them, but Tengen created a lot of unlicensed games for the Nintendo Entertainment System, and they did jump ship over to the Sega Genesis as well. They didn't create for just Nintendo products. And their mascot is from a game from the Sega Genesis, which I may have mentioned before, but their mascot is Awesome Possum from the video game Awesome Possum Kicks Dr. Machino's Butt. Never played this game. I actually own this game, but I have not gotten around to trying it. If that's something you would like me to see, at me on Twitter, message me on Instagram. I would love to stream it at some point. It'd be kind of fun just to goof around. Hell, maybe I'll do a Genesis night and just play some of my Genesis games in the collection. If that's something people would be interested in, I will pick a date, I will put it out on social media, and I will stream a bunch of Genesis games. I think that'd be a hell of a lot of fun. And the last one I have, once again, I'm just kind of picking and choosing. This is by far not a comprehensive list of video game mascots or video game or developer mascots or console mascots. It's just some highlights that I found on this list here on Wikipedia. And the last one I'm going to talk about is Rayman, who is Ubisoft's mascot. Rayman's an awesome platforming series. I actually have one of the games for the PS Vita. I also have Rayman 2 on the N64. I don't believe I have the original one, which I want to say was a PlayStation game, if I remember correctly. I've been meaning to get my hands on it at some point because I would love to see where Rayman started, but I've not tried it as of now. But Rayman is back and still pretty popular. There's a good number of really solid 2D platforming games that Ubisoft developed with the Rayman franchise. So check those out if you haven't. They're not just on the Vita. You can get them in a handful of places. But yeah, check them out. So that's all I got for console mascots and whatnot. So for the next kind of grab bag topic, DJack FTW on Instagram, his name is Dave Jackson. He is actually one of the hosts of the Talking Backwards podcast, which is a Twin Peaks podcast. I've not personally listened to it because I've never watched Twin Peaks. I really should. I've heard nothing but good things about it, and everyone always tells me that it's like a great show to watch, and I'll get around to it. But he wrote on Instagram to me to check out the Mega Man Zero series or an episode devoted to Mega Man Zero games. I actually will do that at some point. I will talk about it a little bit here. I'm not going to just kind of touch on it and go, but I will talk a little bit about, but I don't want to dive deep into the games. A, I've not played the games, and B, I want to do whole episodes on them because it's part of the Mega Man series, one of the most iconic series of all time. So I feel like those, even games that aren't as popular within that series, deserves, at least in my opinion, full episodes to themselves. Something I can talk about. But what recently just came out, and the reason why he brought it up, is that there is a collection that just came out, the Mega Man Zero/ZX collection, which pretty much just puts all of the Mega Man Zero games, all the Mega Man Zero games, and all the Mega Man ZX games into one condensed bundle for you on your Nintendo Switch or PS4. So Mega Man Zero essentially takes place in the same universe as the Mega Man X series, but it happened, at least the first Mega Man Zero game takes place a century after the end of the Mega Man X series. And the whole Mega Man storyline is very confusing. I don't even know it all that well, but here's a very brief synopsis of what I understand so far. And what this at this point has been done with no research, mind you, other than me just kind of looking up some very quick stuff on Mega Man Zero. So the original Mega Man series, 1 through, I guess it's 8 and 10 now, sorry, because they released a couple on the Wii. But at the time when the games were going to the Super Nintendo, the first Mega Man Super Nintendo game, like Mega Man, part of the Mega Man series, is Mega Man 7. There is a game called Mega Man X, which is not Mega Man 10. It's not the Roman numeral 10. It is literally Mega Man X. Mega Man X is a different character than Mega Man. And that was very confusing to me for a long time, because they look similar. You can tell a difference. Like, Mega Man X clearly has a little bit more detail going on with his design, but they are a different series. So Mega Man X has his own thing. Mega Man has his own thing. I'm sure they connect somehow. I'm not 100% certain how they do. I'm sure anyone out there who knows this is probably raging into their headphones or they're on whatever, however they're listening to this podcast. But I'm not going to talk out of my ass and pretend like I know what I'm talking about with that. I just know they're probably, I would assume they are probably connected. But the Mega Man X series goes on, I believe, up to X3. Let me look that up while I'm kind of talking here. Oh my gosh, I was way off. It goes up to Mega Man X8, actually, which came out on the PlayStation 2 in 2005, was the last one, and they obviously released the collections for all of them. But yeah, Mega Man X1 through 3 was on the Super Nintendo, and then they started switching over to the PlayStation. So that's the Mega Man X series. But the Mega Man Zero series, Zero is a character in the Mega Man X games, and he obviously got his own series, hence the Mega Man Zero series. And then Mega Man ZX is a game series that takes place 200 years after Mega Man Zero 4. And Mega Man Zero 4 is the last game in the Zero series. The Mega Man Zero games were developed for the Game Boy Advance, and then the ZX series was developed for the Nintendo DS. So they are all connected, and there's just a lot. What's interesting to me is that people always talk about how Mega Man kind of, like, let's get back to classic Mega Man or something like that. And I find that odd in a sense, because there's a lot of games that I wouldn't say, it definitely doesn't feel like NES style Mega Man, but it's still a 2D side scrolling Mega Man, and there's a lot of them out there. There just wasn't for a home console. They were for a lot of handhelds. So maybe that's what people were looking for up until the most recent one, which is Mega Man 11, which I totally forgot. It went past 10 because 11 just came out like the other year, and I even own that game. And I'm looking at it right now in my collection. So there we go. But the Mega Man series in general is something I've been meaning to get into for a while. I've played a lot of, too. I've actually played Mega Man 2 and 3 quite a lot. My main issue with the series is not anything wrong with the series itself. It's just that I'm really bad at them. They are tough. Oh, I've played Mega Man X a lot, too. But no, I am very bad at those games. I enjoy them. I admire them for their technical achievements, for their game design achievements, and for their art aesthetic, for their music. Like, the Mega Man series, there's a reason it has so much longevity and why there's so many fans for the series still. So if you haven't had a chance, not just the Mega Man Zero / DX collection, there's also the Mega Man Legacy collections, two different ones, and they both have different games. I think the first Legacy collection has the majority of the original Mega Man games, and then the second Legacy collection has the Mega Man X series on it. So give those a shot. Like, they are very good games from the ones that I've played personally. I just wish I was good at them. And now when I was talking about good quarantine games, maybe some of these old tough retro games are perfect for the quarantine, because you have nothing but time to just grind it out and just get to a point where you can beat these games. I just lack the patience and the will to do it sometime. Maybe I'll try to use this time with all this extra free time as a way to kind of get over that hurdle and just force myself to not wimp out and just do it. So yeah. So the Mega Man Zero series, definitely check them out. The Mega Man series in general, if you haven't played it, it's overdue, man. Give it a shot. And finally, my friend Erica, who I've shouted out a number of times, over at the Monster Madness podcast, just wrote Zombies. So zombie games. This is why I also said earlier, back at the very first one, the top quarantine disaster and infection games, why I didn't want to talk about infection games, because we kind of already have, this topic here for zombies. Now, admittedly, I don't play a lot of zombie games because I don't like being scared. Not all zombie games are scary, but for the most part, they generally try to go for a horror aspect. And if you go to Steam, you're going to find a shitload of infection games in the sense of like Stop the Outbreak or Stop the Zombie Apocalypse. But ones that I've personally played or at least dabbled in, and Left 4 Dead, Resident Evil, and Last of Us. Now, I've only beaten Left 4 Dead and Last of Us. Resident Evil has never been my cup of tea, and admittedly, I have not tried the newer ones, but especially, what was it, the newest one, the VR one? I'm not talking about PT, but just the newer one. I can't, even like the newest remakes, like Resident Evil 2, the remake of Resident Evil 2, can't do it. It's too fucking scary for me. I played over at a friend's house, and I just could not do it. I just couldn't. It was just too fucking terrifying to me. I just couldn't get around. I couldn't wrap my head around just playing it. Like, I wouldn't play that for enjoyment. I'd be playing it merely out of a sense of obligation, and that's not really how I like to play games. I will try a game out that I don't like, or that maybe I even know I won't like. Not saying that's Resident Evil, but I'll try a game out that I don't like just for the sake of almost education, just to understand, okay, maybe this is why someone likes it, or maybe this is why I don't like this, or something along those lines. And for example, with the Resident Evil games, I totally get why people like it. Like, especially with the remakes, like, the game mechanics are solid, the controls are really good. It's just not my cup of tea. Now, with that said, there are games that I play where I'm like, I don't understand why people like this game. A recent example of that is actually Death Stranding. I apologize to those who like that game, but sorry, not sorry, I guess. I just don't get the appeal of it. And I understand that's kind of an easy target right now. I just don't like walking simulators. That's just my thing. It just, the skill, the gameplay mechanic of having to balance your weight is like the most annoying aspects of RPGs, and that's the entire core mechanic of this game, but even done in a more literal sense, where you have to make sure you're not putting too much weight on one side or on the back portion or the front portion of your big ass backpack trawler thing. And it's just a slow, tedious slog of just trucking across this beautiful landscape. Like, that's the thing that kills me. The game is stunning and the storyline is fascinating to me, but I just can't push myself to play through the game. I just can't do it. And a more controversial one that like everyone likes that I can't understand. No, I can understand why people like, but I can't think of another game where I've played that I cannot understand why people like it so much, where I just can't grasp it around my head. I was about to say Skyrim, but I totally get why people like that. I just don't like it because I don't enjoy the controls, but that's just me. That's an episode for another day. I love, though, in terms of other zombie games, I really like Left 4 Dead. I really like Last of Us. I can't play them right now, mainly because it's a little too heavy for me. The Left 4 Dead is more of an arcade type of game, so I could probably play that. But like Last of Us, that game rips your heart out. For those who haven't played it, it rips your fucking heart out, and it hurts. And I'm very nervous. I know Last of Us 2 has been delayed indefinitely at the time of this recording, but I heard from a friend of mine, or I heard from the developer, not from the developers directly, but I heard that the developers had said that the first Last of Us game was about love, and the second Last of Us game is about hate. And if that first one's about love, I'm terrified of what the hate one is going to be, because the first one is brutal. Like, not just in terms of the violence, but the storytelling rips your heart out. It is a phenomenal game. It is so good. But it's something that's very hard for me to replay because it is a very raw, emotional game. And I don't know if I can commit to something like that right now. But so I actually think that's a good place to wrap up this little grab bag. I actually went a lot longer than I anticipated. I was surprised how good at rambling I was with this and how many tangents I kind of went off. But at the same time, I'd like to think I stayed pretty close on topic comparatively. So yeah, that's it for this episode of Still Loading. Thank you all for listening. Hopefully you like this grab bag. If you'd like me to do something else like this, where I just get a couple topics and I kind of spitball through them, let me know. I'll put up another like poll/forum thing on Instagram, and anyone who wants to write in, suggest a little topic and we will go head first into it. And then eventually maybe I'll even do a full episode dedicated, because like, for example, the Mega Man series in general, I need to do full episodes on, because that game, even the Zero series and the ZX series, admittedly ZX only has two games in it, but they deserve full episodes because they are part of a legendary franchise that they kind of deserve something like that. And even the console mascots, I would love to dive deeper into the history and like, maybe I don't know if I'll be able to, this is not a definitive thing, but I would love to be able to see if I can find like interviews with people from Sony or people from Sega or people from Nintendo about, you know, mascot creation and stuff like that and just where things came from. Now, Sonic and Mario would be probably a lot easier to find, but stuff like Opa Opa from Sega and Alex Kidd from Sega, I might be able to find some stuff. It'd be cool. I would love to actually kind of dive into like a really deep history of console and developer mascots, and not just kind of like the highlights and the best hits or what are the things that stood out to me or whatever. I would like to just do a more comprehensive look into all those. Once again, rambling, but thank you all for listening. You can follow me as usual on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. If you want to reach out to me, you can contact me at stillloadingcontact@gmail.com or any of those social media handles that I mentioned before. If you want to support the show, consider checking out the Patreon, patreon.com/stillloadingpod. Even just $1 a month helps. You can also support it, though, by giving it a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or whichever podcast listening app you use. And most importantly, the partner of the show, the Bit by Bit Foundation. The Bit by Bit Foundation is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to put video games and video game consoles in the hands of kids in receiving inpatient care in hospitals. You can check them out at bitbybitfoundation.org and consider donating if you can. And that should do it. Also, check out the Podbeard Network, the network I'm a part of, podbeardnetwork.com, to check out all those great shows. I think that should do it. So thank you all once again for listening. Hope you enjoyed this grab bag episode, and I will see you all next time.